so sad.
I only preached, I think, one time in July. So I'm going to be praying. He's, okay. I don't know. Thanks a lot, Nathaniel. But I will be preaching in August, and we'll have a couple special guests in September. It's going to be good. But I want to start a mini-series called Jubilee. And so this morning, as I was preparing, I really couldn't get all of this all prepared and on paper, because I like to have notes. I'm a teacher by heart, you know, so I love having it, you know, my notes and things I'm going to say on paper. But I couldn't get everything there until, you know, later than normal this morning. Jubilee. You've heard the phrase, you've heard the word, I should say, Jubilee. You know what, you know, I look in just to look in the dictionary, it says, what is it? And the celebration, and this, but this is not correct as far as what we're going to talk about biblically about Jubilee, but it says, what is it, the celebration of any certain anniversaries? Well, it's not going to be that way. As the 25th, for some reason, I am really ringing, if you can turn me down a little bit, thank you, at least in my ears. Or sixth, or so a certain anniversary is the 25th, Silver Jubilee. Well, that doesn't mean anything to what we're going to talk about today, or the 50th, Golden Jubilee, or the 60th, or the 75th, Diamond Jubilee. Or I also saw on there as far as the definition and completion of 50 years of existence, activity, or the like, or its celebration, that's not correct either. And so I would ask you this morning, as the Lord helps me to lay this out, that you would dig in the Word of God with me. I would ask this morning that you'd be willing to dig a little bit, dig into the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is like nuggets, you know, nuggets of gold or silver. But, you know, sometimes those things have to be dug for. I ask this morning that as I start to have some scriptures, and I'm going to try to lay them out with the help of the Holy Spirit, that you would dig with me. You know how you dig with me? They say, I'm listening, Lord. You say, I'm listening this morning. So I would ask that you would dig with me this morning in the Word of God. So we're going to start out Leviticus 25, 8, 9. And so I'm going to explain this. It may not mean much, but this is kind of our context a little bit. In addition, you must count off 7 Sabbath years. 7 sets of 7. Well, that can be confusing already. Let me just stop and say right there, that's 49 years. Adding up to 49 years in all. Then on the Day of Atonement, in the 50th year, blow the ram's horn loud and long throughout the land. Set this year apart as holy, a time to proclaim freedom throughout the land for all who live there. It will be a jubilee year for you. So that's the first place in the Bible where it uses the word jubilee. Jubilee, but it says it will be a jubilee year for you. When each of you may return to the land that belongs to your ancestors and return to your own clan. You know, sometimes jubilee, they would have this blast of a horn, a festival being introduced. A shofar, you ever heard of a shofar? Is it called a shofar, I think? A horn? A ram's horn? You know, I've been in services, you know, where there's been horns that have been blown. But let me just say, and I don't have any problem with them, but let me just tell you as we get through this, that this, the ram's horn being blown in a service doesn't mean anything if you don't know what understand what jubilee means under the new covenant. It's just another instrument. It's another sound. And so when people sometimes, if you think that, hey, I'm blowing this horn indicating jubilee. I wonder sometimes if people understand what that means. So let me just say this first as we begin, is that jubilee really means a time of reset and rest. Jubilee means reset and rest. Did you know you can be in the middle of working hard and staying up late and meeting deadlines? That's okay, right? Sometimes that's required, deadlines, right? But you know that on the inner man, that even during that time, that you know you can be at rest. Now, it's hard for me. I've had sometimes where I think of all the things I have to do or some things ever fall off the plate. You ever had that? And all of a sudden I'm like, You ever do that? And all of a sudden, I'm anything but at rest. But Jubilee really means a time of reset and rest. See, 7 years times 7 years equals 49 years. I got that math down. This is what it means, I mean, as far as what it means in Leviticus 25. So every 50 year, on the 50th, every 50th year, there was a jubilee. A jubilee. So if you, this is how it was. If you had a piece of land and you sold it, it wasn't a permanent sale. It was almost like a lease. So you would sell land, and a lot of times what you were selling is you were selling crops that were going to be grown on that land. So it would be, and the price of this land was determined by how many years. If the jubilee was every 50 years, well, you could be 5 years after the last jubilee, and there's how many years left to the next one? 50 minus 5 equals 45. So based upon how many years there was left until the next jubilee was how much that land was worth. How much that land was worth. And then it would say that then on the Day of Atonement, in the 50th year, they would blow the ram's horn loud and long throughout the land. And so, because they would indicate it wasn't a permanent sale at all. So all the land reverted back to the original owner. The original tribe, the original family, the original individual. So all debts were canceled and wiped out. Isn't that amazing? Now, I'm going to just say this, that doesn't happen really. They celebrate that. Some Jews in Israel celebrate that now as far as because it's in the Bible. But they don't practice that because didn't Israel lose their land for many, many years, right? By the way, God restoring Israel and restoring their land is definitely a type of jubilee. Isn't that true? It was much longer than 50 years. But as we go through this, just remember this, that the land, you could sell your land, but at the next jubilee, 50 years, it would revert back to its original owner. You would get it back. All debts were canceled. Isn't that amazing? All debts were canceled and wiped out. And the land was restored to whom it was entrusted to. Let me say, I said entrusted to, because that's gonna mean something towards the end here. But let me say this. So does that make sense a little bit? There's other stuff there. We could go into jubilee. But what it is every jubilee on the 50th year, and we'll get into this in the coming weeks, the land that had been sold or indebted would revert back to the original owner, and all debt was canceled. Isn't that amazing? It would stay in that family. But when Jesus showed up on the scene, he used jubilee differently. But let me, he used the term jubilee differently. And it has everything to do with what you and I walk in or could understand or should understand regarding jubilee. Let me just say that these things that happened in the Old Testament were types and shadows of Jesus Christ. We were talking about the celebration of the booths, the meeting of the booths, when they would, all the Israelites would get together and they would celebrate coming out of Egypt. And those 40 years that they were in the desert, God would have them for 8 days get together and celebrate this. With the waving of branches and blessing and praising God. What that is a type of shadow of you, me, you and I, worshiping and praising, lifting your hands, honoring him, saying, God, thank you for the desert. Thank you for the life that you brought me out of into the life that you brought me into. And I lift my hands in worship and say, thank you, Lord. I can remember where I was and what you brought me out of. And I lift my hands. It says the trees of the field will clap their hands. You are that tree, believe it or not. You are that tree. You are that tree today. So Luke 4:16, it says, so he came to Nazareth. Let me start this. Continue with me. Hanging in there so far?
Yes.
Okay. So Luke 4:16, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. So let me just give a little information here since we're digging, right? We're digging, and you're listening and hearing. You just think, well, he went into the synagogue. Well, what do we mean by synagogue? So the Greek word means assembly. It is used in place of the Hebrew word meaning congregation or community of Israel. Originally, it probably referred to the gathering of people. It never was used to refer to the temple. I just want you to know, it had nothing to do with the temple. The synagogue was a place of gathering, Jews in individual little towns like Nazareth. When it said he would go into the synagogue, he wasn't going into the temple. He was going to where people would gather and read the scriptures together. He was with the common person, by the way. He was with the common man reading the scriptures on Sabbath. Amen. Which God's dwelling place is, let me just say this. So the Greek word means assembly. It is never used to refer to the temple, which was God's dwelling place and not primarily a place of assembling for the community. The temple wasn't. No one but Levites and priests could enter the temple. Did you know that? In the holy place and in the Holy of Holies, only those that were Levites could enter those areas because that was their area of worship and they were born to work in the temple, to honor God in the temple, which was God's dwelling place and not primarily a place of assembly for the community. No one but Levites and priests could enter that temple area. All members of the Jewish community could participate in the community life of the synagogue. But that was it. Our God, our priest, Jesus, did not come into this world as a Levitical priest who served in the temple with his hands. Jesus never went into the holy place or the temple. He never went into the Holy of Holies here on earth. Did you know that? He was with the commoner. He wasn't a Levitical priest. He was of Jesus, the line of the tribe of Judah. So he wasn't doing priestly duties while he was here on earth. Never went into the holy place. Never went into the Holy of Holies. That's where God's presence dwelled. That's where God's worship took place during that time before the new covenant. But nevertheless, everything he did here on earth was for the spiritual jubilee for everyone. Let me just read a few scriptures. Hebrews 9, 11 and 12 says, but when Christ appeared as a high priest, well, wait a second, I thought he didn't do any priestly duties, but he's a high priest. Let's keep reading then. Maybe it'll explain itself. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things having come, he entered to the greater and more perfect tabernacle. Where's that more perfect tabernacle? That's in heaven. That's, you know, everything that was made in the Old Testament, those are types and shadows. They were things that were made to look exactly like what was in heaven, but I'm sure on a much smaller scale, wasn't it? A much smaller scale. A more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands, that is not of this creation. And not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all time, having attained eternal redemption. So where they used to take blood into the holy place and the Holy of Holies, he took his blood into the holy place in the heavenly dwelling and presented his shed blood on the cross, saying, I have paid the price that could not be paid on an earthly temple. I paid the price that goes beyond that into the heavenly temple. That's good news. I said, that's good news. And so Jesus is the high priest who came through the common man. Who came through the common man. Assembly, the congregation. He was in the community center. In each small town called a synagogue, he came as a common individual preaching the gospel to common people. Let me just say, never once again, never going into the holy place, never going into the holy, holy place on earth, but presenting himself in the heavenly one, having paid the price for sin once and for all. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's continue. Hebrews 14 and 15 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest, thank you, Jesus, a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Did you see he passed through the heavens? Do you think of the heavens? We have this canopy here, the heavens. You see the sky. Then you have above the earth, you have the second heavens. And then in the third heavens, that's where it's God's throne. That's where God exists. Of course, through the Holy Spirit, exists everywhere. But in the third heavens, Paul talked about it in 2 Corinthians. I was caught up in the third heaven and saw things that I can't even speak about. See, this Jesus, what he accomplished, since we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, the first, the second, and to the third heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold firmly to our confession. You know, we're living in a day and age, young people, where the most important thing the enemy wants people to do is give up their confession. Give up on anything to do with, we'll read about Jubilee. Give up on that he had paid a price for sins, that he's coming again. If there's anything that he would want in this day and age is for people to say, I am no longer confessing him. The enemy who pushes day by day, week by week, what is his goal? Is that you would lose your confidence in him, amen? At least lose your confidence. But if he can, what he would love you to do is to lose your confession of who he is as Lord and Savior, and lose your confession of who he is in your life. Therefore, since we have, I'm going to read that again, have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold firmly to our confession. Let me see here today, let me encourage you to hold firmly to your confession. I was talking to Pam Denny, and we're talking about, you know, just this week, and man, I did have a tough week. You ever had tough days or tough weeks? Well, I do too, and one of those weeks where I see where the enemy was attacking me. There's times where he just attacks you and attacks you and attacks you. And the whole deal with that is that you would not hold firm to your confession. That you would give up on that a little bit. That you would start thinking, well, maybe I can't do it. Or maybe this isn't working out, or I've become discouraged enough that confession of what God is doing or going to do in my life, I'm stepping back from that. Sometimes that can happen without us even realizing it. Today, my whole goal today is when we leave here is that you would say, you know what? I'm not giving up on my confession. I'm standing firm in my confession of Jesus Christ, who he is in my life, who he is in my family's life, and what he's going to do in and through my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And so we continue. Jesus goes to a synagogue in Nazareth. Jesus had been in his local synagogue many times up to this point in his life, by the way. He'd been to that synagogue. And so the synagogue would be, I don't know exactly how big of a room, but they would have some seats where, you know, where some of the more well-known people or some of the elders would sit in a seat inside there so they can see this type of podium where somebody would go up and read from the scriptures. Others would sit on the floor. They would sit on the floor, but they would come to hear someone speak or declare the scriptures. And much of all of that understanding where they were at that time, it was about when is the Messiah going to come? When is the Messiah going to come? Everything focused during that time where they're under the rulership of Rome, you know it's when is he going to show? When is the Messiah going to show up? Jesus, who was a common man, who hung out and rubbed shoulders with common men in their midst for 30 years, reading in their synagogue, and nobody knew at this point who he was. But Luke 4, things changed. Luke 4, I'm going to just read these scriptures now. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. You know, talking about commonality, Jesus goes to John the Baptist. You know, do you realize they were being baptized and confessing of their sins? This is interesting. Jesus comes to him and says, baptize me, but Jesus has no sins to confess. He's perfect, right? He's the spotless lamb. But even every step of his life as a common man, he says, John, baptize me. Baptize me, John. John's saying, you should be baptizing me. But he said, so that all things could be fulfilled, John, baptize me like you would a common man. Jesus is baptized. He comes up out of the water. It says like the Holy Spirit descends into him like a dove. He's filled with a power of the Holy Spirit for the service that God would have for him the next three and a half years. So now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, this is what happens before he comes to the synagogue to read. He's full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. Remember, he was in the wilderness. He gets baptized, the Holy Spirit. He's filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit takes him into the dry areas where he battles Satan by himself, amen. For 40 days, he's tempted by the devil. He's led around, and the enemy, at this time, you know, he goes 40 days without eating. Could you imagine the position that his flesh is in? Talking about being weak in flesh, but alive in his spirit. So he overcomes every attack of Satan at this time. And it's after this point that he goes into this synagogue again. And so we must think, if he's empowered, he's going to the synagogue, he's going to make a declaration. Man, I'm interested. What's Jesus going to say? What's Jesus going to say? So goes to the synagogue right after being baptized, the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove, being led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days and overcoming the temptation and all the delusions of Satan. So Jesus goes from this baptism, goes through this empowering, and he launches out into ministry of Jubilee. You know, he reads from the book. Let me just say, Jesus is going to read from the book of Isaiah. This book of Isaiah was written 750 years before Jesus in Nazareth, this little village, his hometown of Nazareth, in a little synagogue, declares who he is and what's going to happen. 750 years waiting for the Messiah to show up. You know, you could be here this morning, let me just stop, and you're waiting for something in your life. Let me just say that waiting is Jesus Christ. That's who you're waiting for. That's who, if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, that's what you don't realize, but that's what you're waiting for. That's what's going to fill the void in your life. I'm not saying that every day is going to be peaches and creams, but it's who you were. You were made to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You were made for Jubilee. You were made to be brand new. You were made to have all the debts cleared out. Luke 4, 17 through 21 says, and this is Jesus, we'll read it, and he was handed, Luke 4, 17, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. Well, who's he? Jesus. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted," Jesus said, "to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord," which we're going to see means Jubilee. The acceptable year of the Lord means I have come to proclaim what Jubilee really means under the new covenant. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. So he gave it back and he sat down. Can you see that in your mind? And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." He said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." He didn't say this scripture's coming in the future when you blow a horn. I'm just saying. It's not coming in the future when somebody gives you a prophetic word about the year of Jubilee. It could be right. No, he says this is fulfilled today in your hearing. That's good news. Let me see how the Passion Translation. Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't hear any snoring, but it's quiet in here. It's quiet. Luke 4, 18 and 19 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is a Passion Translation. "And he has anointed me to be hope for the poor." Thank you, Jesus. "Healing to the broke for the brokenhearted." Thank you, Lord Jesus. "And new eyes for the blind." Thank you again, Lord Jesus. "And to preach to prisoners, you are set free." Amen. "I have come to share the message of Jubilee," it says. "For the time of God's great acceptance has begun." Amen and amen. Jesus takes Israel's Jubilee as laid out in Leviticus 25, as it says, that had a meaning and purpose that was laid out in the natural at that time, but today it has a deeper spiritual meaning. Jesus is talking about a permanent Jubilee for those who believe. Jubilee has nothing to do with modern world, the way our lives, the way we live, and the governmental powers in control. Listen to me. At least initially in the natural. If Jesus said that Jubilee is fulfilled now, things that are happening in our government, we can't in the natural realize that I'm walking in Jubilee. This church, if you know him, walking in Jubilee, we'll talk about freedom and who you are in him, has nothing to do with who's in power. Now, I understand those who know him and a group in the United States, people getting together, standing up for truth. Yeah, it's our goal to change things, but a Jubilee has to start within you before it ever starts in the nation. Amen. Because after all, it says, we the people. We the people have to be walking in Jubilee. We the people have to understand who we are in him. Amen. Jubilee has everything to do with your spirit, your soul, and your body. Thank you, Lord. The person, this commodity, do you know you're a commodity on earth? You are made out of, what were you made out of? Dust? Am I right there? And it says, dust you'll return, right? We're in this tent, this clay. Thank God the clay changes when we're with him, right? Woo! Thank you, Lord Jesus, for some of us. Some of us, you feel okay about that. You know, I think of, now that I'm at my age, in my, 56, I think about all the presidents or leaders I remember in my lifetime. So if I go back at my age, the first one I remember was Richard Nixon. You remember Watergate and everything that happened there? Then I remember Gerald Ford. So I remember all those turmoils and everything that was going on during that time in our country as far as politically. But I also remember what God was doing during that time. Remember the Jesus Revolution? Did you see that movie? It was during this time, Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford, these things, getting off the gold system and all kinds of things that are happening. But during that time in the natural, God was doing something supernatural within people in this country. If you remember, I do. Some of you aren't old enough, and some of you are, you remember well. And so I just remember that time of Gerald Ford, who had never been elected, and he loses. He runs against Jimmy Carter. Remember Jimmy Carter? And then I remember that time of inflation. I was old enough to remember that time of inflation. And you talk about interest rate. I mean, you think interest rates are high now. 18, 19, 20% at that time. There were some struggles then. And then you had Ronald Reagan, right? Two terms of Ronald Reagan. Yeah, I liked Ronald Reagan. See, during some of those times that we saw in our country with these different politicians, and if you're old enough, remember the things that were going on that were serious, God was doing something even at that time. See, I didn't know much about the church then. I could see by the news what was going on, but God was doing something in his church. So I remember those two terms of Ronald Reagan and George H.W. And then I remember there was this third-party candidate who ran at that time. And the next thing you know, George H.W. does not get a second term. It's Bill Clinton for two terms. I remember the mindset of the church during that time. But you know what? God still continued to work in his body and in his church. It's called Jubilee. And it's Jubilee that happens within the body of Christ. It's not happening necessarily within a government, because Jesus said, I have come. Today this is fulfilled. Got to take it to the scriptures. Today this is fulfilled. Then I remember George W., Barack Obama, Donald Trump, Joe Biden, all these things that are happening right now. But let me ask you this. Is there a Jubilee happening in your life? Are you just looking at what the lens of your eyes can see? Determining if there's going to be any joy in your life. The Jubilee has nothing to do with this government right now. It might want things to change, yeah, but it's going to change with a moving and a power of God moving through his body. Did you know that? Amen. See, Jesus said, I brought Jubilee now. Romans 5:12, you're saying, see, it was wiped out, all the debt was wiped out. And I'm going to get closer to, you had maybe needed money, got yourself in hocks, so you sold your land. But you know, there was a time where there was Jubilee when that debt was going to be wiped out, and you were going to get it back. So you can feel like you're in the debt of sin right now. You can feel like you're bound. And feel like, how am I ever going to get free? This is what Jesus did when he died and rose again. He set you at free if you're willing to allow him to remove every debt of sin, every debt of brokenness. He's willing to set you free and make the slate clean if you'll believe in Jubilee. Romans 5:12 says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. This is Paul. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Hate to say, but when every person, every precious baby that is born in debt. It just doesn't seem fair. We've talked about it before. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Eve. But every person is born in debt. You can do the very best that you can as you grow up. You can have all your ducks in a row. You can have everything on the outside. You can be the model citizen, but have a heavy debt of sin in your land called your body, your soul, your spirit. You can do everything that you want to walk in what the world calls Jubilee and freedom and a life, but don't realize that you're heavily in debt. Heavily in debt. Have no one to pay that for you. Have no one to pay that for you. No matter how you try, with all your diligence, you can never pay this debt of sin. When Adam said the deed of ownership to you and me was handed over to Satan, doesn't that stink? It comes down to who owns you. So as we continue a little bit here, it's this first week on Jubilee. The whole thing had to do with ownership. Who owned you? Can I ask that question? Who owns you? It stinks to think that when I'm born, this deed of ownership is given to darkness. I haven't done anything yet. I didn't do anything. And yet, that's exactly what the scripture says, when all have sinned and sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him, and this is what Jesus did, in him we have redemption, which means what? We've been bought back. We've been purchased. If you know Christ, it says, in him we have redemption through him, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Hallelujah. So let me just read, as we wrap this up, Let me just read what Jesus was reading actually from the Isaiah chapter 61. Then let me see if I can wrap this up. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is 750 years previous to when Jesus was with those commoners in the synagogue and said, today this is fulfilled. Today is the day of true jubilee. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the suffering and afflicted. That sounds like good news. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted. That sounds like good news. To announce liberty to captives and to open the eyes of the blind. Verse 2, he has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of God's favor to them has come, and the day of his wrath to their enemies. That's Satan. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of heaviness. For God has planted them like strong and graceful oaks for his own glory. You know, I begin this series of Jubilee as the worship team comes. It's just a reminder. I know many of you say, I already know this. But I'm telling you, Satan is always trying to erode at this. As I begin this series of Jubilee, it begins with understanding that you and I had to be bought back from the power of sin and Satan. Bought back from sin, death, and the property of Satan. The property of Satan. To buy or pay off, clear by payment. So what's this mean, redemption? To buy or pay off, clear by payment. To redeem a mortgage, to buy back. Jesus' blood, his blood was what redeemed you and I. Amen? Jesus says, that individual, that person, as I've always designed it, thank you very much, but because of Jesus, he belongs, he or she belongs to me forever. I have bought them back. Amen. Jubilee, number one, is you've been purchased back. The debt of sin, the debt of shame, fear, all these things you can name, Jesus paid the price. That's what Jubilee is. So when I'm having a tough week and things are going on in my life, I say, what in the world's going on? I'm reading this morning, I had to remind and say, Lord, I belong. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter my struggles. I belong to you. Because you said today, when you said today, I fulfill this word. Today. Putting my trust so that individual, that common man who was God in the flesh, in that little synagogue where he'd live, reading that, Isaiah 61, he says, today that is fulfilled. Today he's speaking into the future, but he says, today it is done. It's just a matter of time. Those who give their lives to me, they are bought back. Price is paid in full. The deed has been paid in full. And he says, thank you very much. I'll take that deed back. It's been stamped with the blood of Jesus. It doesn't have my name on it. That deed has his name on it.
Yes.
I belong to him now. You belong to him or you belong to the spirit of the world. There's no in between. There's no co-ownership here. God doesn't believe in co-ownership.
That's right.
You know, you can have a deed. You can have a ton of names on it, right? But with the deed, with him, with Jubilee, it's either paid in full or it's not. It's either paid in full or it's not. See, this Jubilee sets everything straight. Past mistakes during this time of Jubilee, they were forgiven. Somebody can say, man, I can't believe I sold my land during that hardship. But there was Jubilee coming. Jubilee was coming. Past mistakes were forgiven. Mistakes of families, a tribe, a people that during that time, they were forgiven. Let me continue couple more verses here and I'll end. Leviticus, it says, this is important, the land moreover shall not be sold permanently because the land is mine. The land is mine. and for you are only strangers and residents with me. You know what he was saying? All this land that you're tending, he says in Israel, he says it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to me. So for you and I today, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, Jubilee for you, what you're saying is, Lord, I belong to you. The powers of hell can come against me, but I belong to you. Lord, you set this thing of Jubilee, you stamped it as permanent. The enemy can talk in my ear, he can do this, but Jubilee says all the debt's paid. I belong to him. Lord, I pray right now, everybody who needed to hear that, I pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to hearts. Would minister to hearts. You know, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, it's with this, Lord, this is what it is. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. I ask that your blood would wash the dead away. Wash my sins away. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe that you rose from the grave. I believe it's at the right hand of the Father. And you say, Lord, I belong to you. When you struggle, make mistakes, you say, Lord, I belong to you. Jubilee has already been established. Lord Jesus, you've paid the cost. The deed is not going to be, he's not going to come and die again and again and again. No, the Jubilee, once and for all, he paid the price. So what is, he wants to restore himself back to you to a purpose. He wants to realize that he is your maker. He's the only true God, and that you belong to him when you give your life to him. Father, we thank you this week. Maybe just take a little time if you could stand with me. Can we stand? Maybe it's to lift your hands and say, Lord, like the trees of the field, and say, Lord, I belong to you. Lord, you paid the debt of my sin, my shame, my fear, my hurts. Lord, I belong to you. Only you could pay the price. So, Lord, is this first week just establishing this? You, Father, paid the price. I belong to you. When we dismiss, if you need prayer, I would encourage you to come up and have somebody pray for you. If you need somebody to pray with you or talk to you more about Jubilee, would you come up? If there's an area where you've been struggling, let me just tell you the first thing in understanding, if somebody's struggling with suicide and you know the Lord, let me just say this, you belong to him, and I rebuke that lying voice of suicide, and I command you to go in Jesus' name. You belong to him. I declare it. I break that power of that voice in Jesus' name. And how we do that? We replace it with the truth. Hallelujah, the word of God. We replace it with the truth that I belong to him. So, Lord, we thank you for that today. We love you. We praise you and we exalt you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.